Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. 10 years, hundreds of guests, millions of downloads, one podcast.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on.
The 10-year anniversary podcast, March 10th, Peterson Auto Museum. Mahalo for a decade of getting it on. Are you coming to Adam Carolla as unprepared in Connecticut or Boston? Adam needs a co-host and someone to pick out his bingo balls. Send a video of why you think you should be picked to questions@adamcarolla.com. Tweet it to us at Adam Carolla Show, or just call in when we tell you to. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Tom Arnold. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and some tips from Jordan Harbinger in our newest segment, Harbinger of Success. And now, thrilled to see Brady and the Patriots finally catch a break, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for sharing. Find someone you know and let them hear this free podcast as we head into year number 10, or we're in year number 10, or we go to, no, I don't know how it works. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Tom Arnold is the devil.
We'll talk to him in a second. I was watching the game on Football Sunday.
The games.
Oh, they were games?
With cousin Sal.
Oh, man. You got to tell the story about Sal and his back.
I'm trying. I'll figure out the nuts and the bolts of it in a second. First, I'm going to thank Lowe's at Lowe's.com/Adam and Intuit. Go to Intuit.com. I'll tell you about them in a second. So Sonny's pretty big Rams fan, and I've always been a big Rams fan.
They've been here his whole life.
Yeah, right? And they were here my whole life until I got older. And once again, they left when I was 30 or something, but 28, or I don't know when they left. But everyone's like, well, what are you still rooting for that for? It's like, I don't know. People that move here from Brooklyn would root for the old Dodgers when they're back in Brooklyn. Like, I don't know. There was a team I rooted for from – I built my world around football. It wasn't that I loved football. I needed football. Football saved my life. Literally. It saved my life. I had no life. There was nothing. My family is a hamper with no bottom on it. It's a bottomless hamper. So my life, just a dark bottomless hamper.
Just a pen?
Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll think about my mom and I'll go, oh my God, that person raised me. Like, she was in charge.
Yeah.
She was in charge. You wouldn't leave my mom in charge of watching a park bench. Mm-hmm. In a park that you didn't own. Like, it meant no fun, no anything, no toys, no go-karts, no joy. Football, no joy, no wrestling, no football, no meat,
right.
Nothing. Everything was bad. Everything was depressing and poor and shitty. And then there was this one thing. It was football.
Yeah.
And I was good.
And I
fucking loved it. And by the way, keeping in step with the theme, she hated. She didn't like football at all. No one in my family liked football. They thought it was sort of big guys. The same thing. All this stuff we're talking about now with all the safe spaces and all this bullshit. I went through it already in the 70s.
She was a pioneer.
This is just big, ugly, white, and black, the ugly Americans running into each other. This was aggression. This is what Gillette's warning us about. That's what football is. Football is just basically bullying the person in front of you.
Right.
Or the attempt. You line up the ball, and one team's on one side, and the other team's on the other side, and you attempt to bully the other team.
Yeah.
And they don't like it. It's very aggressive. It's physical. Also, there's a winner. There's a loser. You have to practice. Otherwise, you're going to lose. We're keeping score. All the things they hate because they would lose. So I loved it. And I would like, you know, lay out my uniform, you know, the night before. I could remember being 10, being in my dad's shitty apartment in North Hollywood and like doing push-ups on the bad green shag carpet in the living room in April. Like going, I'm getting in shape. I'm in shape. Getting in shape. I got an off-season program.
Like, routine.
Like Walter Payton, find me a sand dune. And literally like doing push-ups, like going, I'm going to be coming strong this year. You know, like
lacing up your ruse.
Yeah, I had nothing.
Your ruse.
Ruse was the tennis shoe was sponsored, or the cleat
Amazing.
That sponsored.
R-O-S. Yeah. Kangaroos.
Sure.
I don't think they're around anymore.
Ruse doesn't have a strong foothold, no pun intended, in the industry.
It was pretty much Payton.
Yeah.
So I'm there and I'm doing push-ups and I'm like, and all I'm doing is thinking about football. It was my entire life. And I'd watch it. I love playing it, pickup games and everything. So then naturally I became a big Rams fan because they went to the Super Bowl when I was in like the 10th grade high school. But I always loved the Rams. I always loved football. So now I go to watch the game. And everyone's there, and there's Cousin Sal, and he's pacing around. And normally, Sal's up on his feet doing some texting. It's a little more business, more of a business trip for him. I hate it when football players talk about it's a business trip. Going there, take care of business, go home. But anyway. So he tells me about this bet he's got going on.
It's pretty great.
Which is him and... another fella named Clay bought a ticket for $8,000. The ticket was purchased for $8,000. He bought it, was it in February?
I think I understand how this works. Yeah. So the original ticket was bought in Vegas by a gambler for $8,000. They put $8,000 on the Saints preseason. This is back in like February or whatever it was.
Before the season
to win the Super Bowl, which of course is probably a long shot. Probably would have paid off $160,000. It was 20-1.
$168,000.
There you go. 20-something to 1. Whatever. Yeah, 20. Yeah, whatever it was. 21. And so
21,
the Saints are now one of the four teams left.
Right.
And they stand to win $160,000, you know, minus $8,000 they put down.
Right.
That's an incredible, that's a very good
Yeah, it's more like profit. It's more like $170,000. And
yeah,
so
20-1 money line back.
So Sal and his ex-partner, just call him X.
So whoever made this original bet was selling this ticket, which is legal. You can transfer the ticket. You can sell the ticket for whatever it's worth on the secondary market. Like, hey, here's a ticket that could be worth $160,000 if the Saints win the next two games. And Sal apparently went in for an agreeable price.
It's a little deal or no deal where they talk to the banker and figure out what you could have now.
I like that. That's risky.
Yeah. So they paid $57,000. For the opportunity to win $168,000, so half of the 57 was 28.5, I guess.
And you
have to do the math because otherwise, why wouldn't you just put down a bet on the Saints?
Right,
you
know,
at this point, yeah. So they have to work out obviously in your favor.
Right. So now I'm with my son attempting to enjoy the Rams with a guy
who's dying.
Who I just
Saints.
Got back from Maui with, who has almost 30K. Well, he's got 30K to lose today and 170 or wherever they whacked it up. Anyway, that's a lot of cash.
Indeed.
Even for me. I couldn't be more douchey about that one. That's good. That's cash.
Yes, it is.
And
it's a big outlay.
I'm there like rooting on the Rams kind of now because they haven't been in the Super Bowl in a while. And of course, Sonny really wants the Rams to win, but it's hard to really do it audibly in front of a guy. I mean, who has 30K rolling on this thing. And so when the Saints get up 13-0, I'm kind of making my peace with it. Like, oh, okay. Saints are up. They're up at home. They never lose at home, and they're up 13-0. And okay, let Sal live to fight another day. Now, you can say, well, who says the Saints would have won the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Had they won this
it's not
game.
Over.
But also keep in mind that there's plenty of ways to sort of hedge it going into the Super Bowl.
Right.
Now you have a 50-50 chance, approximately. I don't know if that's spread would have been. It would have been more a point, 50-50 chance of winning $170,000. There's ways to protect yourself with ancillary.
Okay.
Let other people buy
in. Put a pick bet on the other team. You know, you're going to win a good amount either way.
Yeah, or let other people in some of your ticket or whatever it is. I'm not an expert, but it doesn't mean. So your conclusion of, well, but what if the Saints would have lost anyway? You'd be out that whole, no, they would have worked it out.
Yeah.
So now they're down. They're down 13-0. Sonny has to do that move like in cartoons. Well, when something good happens, he can't cheer out loud.
Yeah.
So I think he's doing a move.
The muted fist pump.
Yes. Remember in movies where they'd go like, oh, we finally just got the baby to sleep. And then the guy would stub his toe. And then he'd limp out of the house, go around the block. He'd open the mailbox. He'd put his head in the mailbox, scream as loud as he could, shut it, and then walk back. It was a trope. It was a cartoon trope they would do. But Sonny's having to go probably do that with celebrating. As his team now claws its way back into the game on the road and then eventually into the Super Bowl. None of us can really celebrate because, of course, Sal's beside himself because there's a horrible call
at
the end.
That was a crazy call.
It's a crazy non-call.
Gina, did you see any of the game?
I was very aware of all of the updates as it's going. My family, all in Kansas City, they're not speaking to anyone today. Okay. They're sort of sitting.
This is the previous game.
I know, okay. I know. Okay. So I was very aware of everything happening.
Gotcha.
But all I know is there was an influx of tweets that I saw. They're fixed, fixed, fixed. NFL pulls the strings. It's fixed, it's fixed. So
I hate the blame the refs thing, but that was one of the most egregious calls I've ever seen in any sport.
That was a horrible call or non-call. And you think
that was a game losing call?
Yes. If you throw the hanky out on that one, then they take the knee three times, kick a field goal, and the game's over.
And as much as any play would have decided, any one play is important to deciding the outcome of that game, that's probably the most important.
Well, like the overtime in the Chiefs game.
The Chiefs, first off. It's so insane that the Patriots just win coin toss. Yeah. They just win everything. Yeah. I'll tell you the one thing. I'll tell you what the Patriots do. I've said it a million times. It's a backbreaker. They get into third and 10, third and 10, third and 10, third. Did they convert all their thirds and tens with 10.5-yard passes every time? It's like it is so demoralizing. They take them into these drives where it's like third and 10 in the league. I mean, you tell me, it's under 30%.
I would imagine so.
It's probably under 35%. Maybe it's under 30%. It's a league average, whatever the league average. But third and the whole distance to go, doing it three times in a row is really like a 10% tile thing. Now, they're taking some of it out because they're Belichick and Brady, whatever it is, but they just keep doing it. It drives you nuts when you're playing the Patriots. They won't get off the field. And then, of course, they win the goddamn coin toss. Like, why does God need them to win the coin toss?
Yeah.
And then the worst thing ever, which is the biggest game, second biggest game in the year, and your team with your star quarterback, stud, at home, doesn't get to go on the field.
Never sees the field.
Why?
All right, I blame myself. It used to be that they would just march down and kick a 60-yard field goal, and your guy would never get on the field. And I was like, you bring the ball down to the 33-yard line, your drive stalls, and you win the game with a long field goal.
Don't feel right.
That doesn't feel right. So I said you should have to punch it in to win. You score a touchdown. And they ran it all the way down the field, converted three of their third and nines and tens and everything else, and they punched it in.
It wasn't cheap. It was a good drive, but it was, you know, just to point out that it's a little bit crazy.
I would definitely revise this to they're in a playoff game. There should be no such thing as the other team not touching the ball, regardless. So I would revise it that, I don't know, maybe you go during mid-season or in the season, not as necessary, though. I'll take this into the season. You go down and score, you kick off, you got one possession. That's it. If you can't score a touchdown or you can and want to go for two or whatever that whatever that is. That's it. It's just insane that your guy, the rookie of the year, I guess it probably
be I think a second year player.
Oh, second year player, but. In the top three for MVP of the league.
First season starting.
Yeah. One of the best players, arguably the biggest star of the NFL this year,
right,
doesn't get the ball in his hands at home in OT.
Doesn't feel right. And here we are.
Damn Patriots. God damn them.
You think God's in charge?
Yes. Well, we're coin tosses. Feels like
there
obviously.
Is no God, Brian.
Oh,
obviously.
You think the devil? Yeah, oh, you think Beelzebub is?
That's right. It's Mephistopheles.
Yes, could be. So, Saints fans trying to cope with the loss. Well, look, you can never. I mean, sorry, Adam Baton Rouge.
Yes, sir.
Trying to cope. Yeah.
Old,
What's going on?
I you always say never leave it to the judges. That's what you say, and it's great advice. And you know, on that final possession in regulation, had the Saints just taken a knee three times and then punched in a field goal, the Rams would have burned all their timeouts. They would have had the ball, no timeouts, less than a minute remaining, and you know, yada yada yada. As it stood, that pass interference reduced the Saints' chances of winning from 98% statistically to about 80%. And so it feels like such a screw job, but statistically speaking, the Saints still had an 80% chance of winning. And it's
You know, Mike August is a big Saints fan. He grew up in that neck of the woods and all over the place, but spent a lot of time in Louisiana. And he said the same thing. You still got to let the other team has to get the balls. They still have to go down to march. They still have to kick a field goal. Like, there's stuff the other team still has to do. Bad call. They threw. Like on first down, like a dink and dunk pass that was almost like spiking the ball, like it ran no time off the clock, blah, 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 blah. Does anyone talk about the Saints coach looking like the kid from the Christmas Story?
Peter Billingsley?
Oh, that's great.
Am I the only one? I've thought that my whole life.
Oh.
Go find Peter Billingsley.
The most positive, that's the actor.
And
that's good. You're good at that, Ace.
It's weird. I brought it up at football, and I thought everyone must have brought that up before. But every time I see him, I think of that. But take your time, Max Pata. Drew Brees is a real easy guy to root for.
Indeed.
And a real class act. And the Saints are really easy to root for, too. KC, Jesus Christ. What'd they do? Go to the second Super Bowl and lose? Or what? They won the first Super Bowl, the third Super Bowl, they won the third?
They won one.
They won one. It's been like 49 years, right? Yeah. Like, yeah.
They lost one and then they won number four.
Oh, that's what it is. It's been like 49 years since they went to the Super Bowl. Who are the assholes that are rooting for the Pats that aren't from that area, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's sad.
It's just the bandwagon mentality.
I don't know. My whole thing was like, here's how I work. I like the Saints. The Saints have one Super Bowl win, I think, in their franchise history.
Recently.
And Cousin Sal has 170 large. So the way I'm wired is I would like the Rams to win. If the Rams don't win, Drew Brees is great. The Saints are class act. They've been to one Super Bowl. They won one Super Bowl since Super Bowls started, and I'm okay with them moving on. The other way I work is KC, don't have a fight in a game. Like KC, hate them. One team's there every year. The other team hasn't been there in close to 50 years. Let the new team go. So I'm, of course, rooting for the new team. And part of the reason I'm rooting for the new guys in KC is that if KC played my Rams in the Super Bowl and KC won, I would say, you know what? Good for you and the franchise. It's been 50 years. Ironically, when Brady beat my Rams, Brady has to be the only guy on the field now that's still in the league. When Brady beat my Rams for the first time, I thought, good for you, New England, because they've always been around. They've gotten blown out of a few Super
Bowls. They're a laughing stock.
They weren't Browns laughing stock. They were just, they'd go to the Super Bowl and get destroyed.
They were a second tier team for the most part.
Right. And I remember thinking, they're good. They're a good organization. I like them. I like their uniforms, whatever. The New England Patriots. They're Patriots.
It was 2001. It was after 9/11.
Right, right. It all felt very good. Right. And it was a nice story with Brady and being the backup quarterback and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, you know what? Rams won a year before that or whatever it is. Good for you. Good for you. Now, of course, knock it off.
How the tides have turned.
So I could have enjoyed the Super Bowl against KC because either the Rams would have won or would have been a good for you situation. Right. Now, if the Patriots win, it's going to be insane. And I'm going to have Kevin Hanch walking around and Simmons and all those guys.
And they ask you where you're putting your money. What are you putting your money on?
Oh, yeah. People are going to need to know so they can bet accordingly. Yeah.
Also, wouldn't you rather have Gina Grad celebrating a Super Bowl victory than Bill Simmons?
I would.
Thank you.
We're going streaking.
Brady himself has more Super Bowls than any franchise.
Oh, Super Bowl appearances? Yeah.
Yeah. See that. Not wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
But appearances.
Jesus.
Goddamn Christ.
Son of a bitch.
And just to say what a hometown fan I am, I know nothing about football. I like watching Hard Knocks, and that's about as far as we go. I was at a wedding Saturday night, and because I knew this game was coming up and how important the Chiefs are to people I love, I wore my Chiefs red jumpsuit.
Wow. Nice.
I really, really, I thought that would bring them some luck, but nope.
They really could have won that game.
Yeah, could have.
And I'll tell you the biggest play of that game. Sorry, Adam, but did you have any money riding on it? You can't be as far out as Cousin Sal is, right?
Oh, no. I know better than to bet money on Saints games. I believe in God, but there is no God, and I just know better.
Good. Now, the other thing that was insane.
I believe in God, but.
Well said.
The game's winding down. The Patriots need to score. They throw a 3-yard out to Gronk. They hit him in the hands. The ball caroms up in the air. The DB picks it off. Game over. Game over. But there's a flag. And there's a flag. And you hear Tony Romo on the announcer. It's like, oh, there's a flag. What is it? And it's like, he goes, could be offsides, which would have been on the defense, but you saw no movement. I mean, or it's a legal formation on, if this is on the Patriots, season done. So you guys have a pick, should be season done, but there's a flag, could be season done, but what is it? Is it it doesn't seem to be pass interference or defensive holding or anything.
Obvious.
And if it's offsides, you see the linemen jump normally and you'll see like, oh, it's a free play. They jump. No. So he goes, could be illegal formation. This game could be over. And I'm like, it is. Nothing happened on the defense. Nobody jumped. Nothing happened. Guy was lined up offsides. Did inexplicably on the other side. It's always on the other side of the ball. Just had his hand.
Terrible angle for actually seeing if he was offsides.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't. I'm saying I'd like a better angle.
The guy who called it, the ref who called it, was the line judge, and he was just standing there. So here's what you guys did.
Oh, no.
For no reason at all, you lost it on that play. There's no, he was coming from the weak side. The ball was released. He didn't get near. He got double teamed. That pass rusher got double teamed, never really got off the line of scrimmage too far. Like it's one thing when a guy is offsides or he's in the neutral zone, which we don't know where that is because you're on one side of the ball or the other. There's some weird thing called the neutral zone. I don't know why they have it, or why they even say it. You're either off the one side of the ball or you're the other side of the ball. I don't know where the neutral zone.
The width of the ball is the neutral zone, right?
Six and a half inches?
I think if your hand is across the front of the ball, you're offsides. But either way, it's one thing if a guy's offsides or gets an early jump or whatever, and he sacks the quarterback, and you pick up the fumble, and you go, yeah, but if he didn't do that, you wouldn't. This guy had nothing to do with the play. He just lined up off inexplicably. He did something that doesn't happen. Like, have you heard that call in the entire playoffs? A guy just hand
it's rare.
Offsides? Yeah. Like, it didn't happen in the Rams game. It didn't happen in this game until this play. It didn't happen in any of the playoff games during the year, I don't think. Like, it just had his hand across the thing. It's also the kind of thing that the refs don't really even have to call. They have to call the guy jumping because he jumped on, and then putting his hand. It's a little, there's a little gray area there. Like,
yeah, how much advantage does that really give you?
And also, you're standing 25 yards away and kind of sighting the front of the ball. Like, there isn't an actual line, right? So you, there's a lot of like, when they turn a double play in baseball and they kind of straddle the second base, they call it an out. Right. You know, you don't have to stand on top of it.
Right.
So, it's a call that's not even made that much. It's no advantage. I mean, it's a 4-inch advantage. Yeah. You're that much closer, but he didn't get to anybody. And that game was over. That game was over.
Fixed.
And then there was like, there was no time to digest it. It was like, all right, well, that one was on KC. Up top to Gronk. He's on the 2-yard line. Like, it was like, the Patriots give you the fucking bends because you're like, I was like sitting there like leaning back. Well,
That's it.
Game over. Hey, Patriots, you're not. Here's a Super Bowl that you're not going to grace. Here's it's up top to Gronk. He's on the 2-yard line. I'm like, what? No. What happened? They intercepted the ball. Like, it was crazy. They normally, like, there's a timeout or a commercial review or something. They come back when that. Nope. They just rolled.
Wiped it out.
I don't know if you have that in real time, Max Zapata, but I mean, when there's a play like that at that time of the game, there's like everyone's got to stop and convene and figure out what happened and blah, blah. They were just right up top to Gronk, moving on. Scoring, you were just like sitting there like shocked. Oh, that stadium must have been shocked. All right.
Gut punch.
Mm-hmm.
Sad shit.
Jesus Christ.
How's your dad doing?
Not well.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Ralphie and the coach for the Saints.
Sean Payton's in the middle, and then Ralphie on the left, and what Ralphie looks like now on the other side of him. So
they could be brothers, absolutely.
Yeah, always thought of that, but wasn't sure. I assumed other people brought it up.
Ralphie
well.
Can X and O, man, with the best of them.
Go to AdamCarolla.com. We'll put those up if you want to do it yourself.
And most people in my family have no feelings about the Rams. They're not fans or they don't care. You have never seen a bigger bunch of Rams fans as right after that Chiefs game. Yeah. Everything's F the Pats, F this, F that. Go Rams. So, you know, this is good for the Rams, though, because we always talk about nobody cares about the Rams and the fans coming from, you know, from other states or cities crush them. Now they're going to get their
final
back.
Home game.
Yeah, exactly.
This is brutal for? St. Louis fans.
Mm.
You either hate the Rams for leaving or you hate the Pats for wrecking your last Super Bowl. Pick your poison, St. Louis.
The on a separate note, somebody tweeted me a funny or die video. Made me think of our own Gina Grad over here. And I don't know if you've seen it.
I don't think
but
so.
It was it sort of covered in a funny way the stuff we've been talking about with diet and you know, eat, is fat good? Is fat not good? Eggs good? Meat, whatever. By the way, I'll do a little more research on someone's tweeted me this. Somebody tweeted me an article and I'll look into it a little more in another show. But sunscreen turns out may not be so good for you. Who knew that spraying chemicals all over your kid's face and torso may have come back to haunt them? People not getting enough vitamin D out there.
Yep.
Now, just like there were nutritionists who were talking about eating like 6 small meals a day and drinking your weight in ounces and water and all this stuff. These are nutritionists. These aren't your mom's friends. These are like certified nutritionists.
They study the better.
I would talk to doctors would be like, hey, if you're going to go out to your mailbox, you put some sunscreen on before you go out. I mean, when you leave the house, like you put it on as part of your day.
When you get back, reapply.
Yeah, it's like I'm putting it on just to go. I get my car and then walk to the shop. Like, no, you're going out. You put on that sunscreen. I'm like, I don't know. Can that be good? Just rubbing this stuff into us? That
spraying
that
it
sort
in
of
your
chemical.
Yep.
That, all right, we'll look into that in a second. If you have that video, I'll let you see it. You guys will laugh. I'll tell you. Yes.
Does this video have to do with like a time machine or time?
Yes.
I love it. I have seen this.
Okay.
This is great.
Brian, have you seen it?
Nope.
It's funny. It covers what we're talking about. And I think it works out. It's audibly. You don't need the visual. It's just it's a couple from like the 50s, I guess, sitting down to eat breakfast. She's making breakfast for the husband, and there's a time traveler who's going to explain what he's eating. First, I'll tell you about Lowe's, a new home for craftsmen, including their new V20 cordless power tool lineup. One battery system works on multiple products, 2, 4, 6, and 8 tool combo kits available with all the 2-amp high capacity lithium batteries that work with all the tools in their V20 lineup. Runtime you need, the power you deserve. V20 brushless tools available. They have the V20 Max brushless drill. They have the impact driver. That'll change your life. They have the hammer drill if you want to do a little masonry work. This stuff is good. I've always used their hand tools, their mechanics tools, and now I use their cordless stuff too. Proudly made in the USA with global materials in Charlotte, North Carolina. For the latest in Craftsman products and updates, go to Lowe's.com/Adam. Find out what they got at Lowe's.com/Adam. Lowe's, new home for Craftsman. You know what there should be? I know we have bars. Here's what we did it. We went, all right, let's have bars. And then at some point, somebody said, yeah, put a TV in the bar so people can watch the game. And then they went, okay. And then somebody went, well, let's have a sports bar. And they went, okay. And then they went, well, let's have a bar for Pittsburgh Steelers fans. Gambling bars.
You had me at gambling.
I want a gambling bar. First off, there's nothing worse. Obviously, I got Cousin Sal there. He's there every game. We just got back from Maui. What am I supposed to do? Cheer when the Rams tie it up or go ahead? I can't. Oh, I can't. It's you pick a team.
This bar is for the over.
He could have been for the over. Or he could have the money line.
Yes.
Whatever it is. And you go there and you can, first off, drinks will be flowing when you're losing. Like, you shall commiserate. And then,
oh, that's great.
All you want is some company when you're misery.
Bar is for Gronk to have more than 8.5 catches. Let's go. Throw it to Gronk. Yeah. Throw it to Gronk. All prop bet bars.
Blue Gatorade bar.
Blue Gatorade. It's the heads coin flip. Everyone leaves.
Yeah, getting a little too granular. Yeah, but okay. I just like a gambler's bar, and everyone in there needed the Saints to win.
I think you found a great way to fill all those vacant storefronts in North Hollywood.
Yes. The gambler's bar. And so here's the deal. It's not a Rams bar or Saints bar. It's a people who bet on the Saints go over here. You know, could be the over-under, could be whatever. And people who didn't, although over-under is going to be hard to figure. They're going to have to move around a little bit.
To separate sides.
You need the Saints to win, bar, or you need the Rams to win, bar. And by the way, there are people who bet against the Rams or bet against whoever could go to the other bar or whatever. But
you're 100% right. I've been to bars for like USC away games where like it's in LA and there's a bunch of assholes rooting against USC. It's like, hey man, I get it if you're a big fan, but you know a lot of people here would like this team to win. It is the hometown team.
Right.
Yes. I'm with you, man.
So what bar would you go to on the Super Bowl? The Pats cover the spread, the Rams win outright.
Yeah, I'd have to.
I guess that would.
I'm
go
just spitballing here, but
National
I'd have to figure.
I'd
have to figure this one out. But Sal needed to be there, or Sonny needed to be at the other bar with a sippy cup because it was tough to cheer on. It was such. I mean, Rams, our team, down 13-0. Saints at home. I mean, that's a pretty big win. Yeah. Getting out of there with that win. I don't. At a certain point, when you're down to the Saints, who do a ton of scoring and winning at home. And they got the best record in
NFC for sure.
Yeah, and you've given up two touchdowns to them. Your chances of getting out there with a win is probably less than 20% at a certain point. And you get out of there with a win. That would be cause for high fiving, but we couldn't do
no celebrating.
All right, and conversely, I had to sit next to Hanch and watch the Patriots win.
Brutal.
Yeah. All right. We got the Funny or Die vid. We'll play for you.
Yeah, you call your own out on this one.
All right. Time traveler, dietitian.
1979.
A couple having breakfast. She's giving them bacon and eggs, or steak and eggs. I can't.
Oh, you're terrible.
He slaps her on the ass. Time traveler coming in.
Stop! Don't eat that food!
Who are you? What are you doing in our house?
I'm from the future. I'm here to warn you, don't eat that food.
Why not?
The eggs, they're full of cholesterol.
What?
Cholesterol, it It clogs up your arteries. Eating even just one egg can dramatically increase your chance of heart attack. Don't eat eggs.
Oh my God, thank you.
You're welcome. Godspeed.
Goes back in the bathroom, flash a light, travels
well,
back.
Well, I guess I better take those eggs.
Wait!
New flashlight.
Stop!
New
flash.
You're back!
Yeah. We were wrong about the eggs.
How?
Well, it turns out there's two types of cholesterol. There's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, and eggs actually have both. So you can eat eggs, but just don't eat the egg yolks. So stick with the egg whites.
Thank you.
Yeah. Godspeed!
Back to the bathroom. She's giving him his plate back, or she's throwing away the eggs. He just wants his eggs.
Wait! We were wrong about the eggs!
Again?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so it turns out that the amount of cholesterol in a food doesn't actually affect how much cholesterol ends up in your blood. The eggs are probably fine. In fact, we sort of don't even know what cholesterol is. But the steak! You can't eat the steak!
Steak.
Why not?
Turns out that red meat increases your chance of heart attack. You have to cut out red meat. So no steak!
Thank you.
The wordless husband.
Yeah.
He's saying so much.
Put upon.
Well, no steak, mister.
Just throwing away the steak.
Wait!
Catches her before
we
she throws
about
away
the steak. It's the toast. Man was not meant to eat bread.
What do you mean man was not meant to eat bread?
Well, if you think about it, human beings should really only be eating what our Paleolithic ancestors ate. So, therefore, no bread, no toast.
How do you know what our Paleolithic ancestors ate?
Well, we just have to guess, right? I mean, we don't have any way of knowing
He runs back.
Back to the bathroom. Husband's eating some toast.
Okay. Went back to the Paleolithic. They are not doing well. I don't know what we were thinking. If anything, we should all be eating a lot more bread. Jeez. So I guess just ignore everything I've said and exercise.
Exercise, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys could probably use it. You've been just sitting here for the last 35 years.
Well, it's been 5 minutes.
Right. Time travel.
That's fine.
All right, well, Godspeed! Turns out it's genetic. Doesn't matter whether you exercise or what you eat. I'm sorry I ruined your meal.
I need 10 minutes.
He's going into the bathroom. The husband is.
Do you want some eggs?
I'd love some.
It's great.
It's funny. Yeah. It's funny because it's fucking... By the way, things have to be true, otherwise
the absurdity,
they're not...
Yeah, the absurdity of it all.
But if it's not what's been going on over the last 35 years of people talking about what's new... Nutrition is, it's fucking nuts. Put like spray on butter on their popcorn. Like, you know, as much popcorn as you want, as long as you spray that margarine on.
And popcorn has almost no calories.
It's like we literally did things like by weight. Yeah. Right? Like, hey, look how light popcorn is. Look how heavy a steak is. Now, come on.
The size of your fist, the size of your whatever.
I'll tell you what. You don't believe me? Go stand on that scale. Now, I'll give you a pillowcase of popcorn. Where'd that go up? 3 ounces? Good. Now, give me two big T-bone steaks. Hey,
I rest my case.
There you go. That's science. Like, it's so insane. And then, of course, you have to think, well, what's currently going on? That's what you always have to think. So easy to go back and laugh at everyone being wrong. But what is currently going on?
Can I bring this up only because I know where else I'd bring it up? We talked about trope earlier. We talked about food and outdated things, blah, blah, blah. One trope, I don't know why, it was in so many sitcoms back in the day, and I never signed off on it, and I just realized how ridiculous it was because Christy made some delicious meatloaf. Why was meatloaf what's for dinner? Mom's meatloaf.
Hey, a big part of Christmas story. They don't want their meatloaf.
That's right. Meatloaf is delicious. It's a hamburger in a loaf
it's
form.
It's great.
What's not to like?
I brought it in for Eat Your Feelings.
Fucking
you
love meatloaf,
it.
Man.
Yeah.
I had... Olga put two hard-boiled eggs in my meatloaf the other night.
Careful, I have a heart attack.
My grandfather used to make hard-boiled egg, put the hard-boiled egg in the meatloaf. It was awesome.
Mom's meatloaf.
Not again.
I got to tell you what. First things first. Meatloaf.
But how's that become a thing?
I don't. Meatloaf.
Like
I don't
said,
get
the thing. The reason the dietitian thing is funny is because, like, yes, we all recognize how funny, how absurd that is. No one's like, oh yeah, meatloaf. We all hate that.
I never got the Chinese food you're hungry again in 3 hours. I've gone out and pigged out on Chinese food a million times. I've come home pretty fucking
satiated.
Full. Like, I've eaten a whole bunch of, like, pork fried rice and, you know, chicken and snow peas and beef and broccoli and stuff. I don't get the old, I never got the Chinese trope either. Meatloaf, right. And I'll tell you. The only thing
do you like
I'm,
burgers,
I'm
you'll probably love meatloaf.
I'm trying to think.
I think it's aesthetic. Uh-huh. It doesn't have the aesthetic appeal that a lot of foods have.
What it? I
close
think,
your eyes and put it in your mouth.
Yeah,
get that drop.
There was a thing which is it was considered like powdered milk to milk, like steak was steak, and then if you had to eat meatloaf, that's because you weren't doing too good. Mm-hmm. Like it's cheaper, chub pack, whatever.
Sure. But
also,
bread
you can fill that thing with the Lipton onion tea and whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can
top it with the marinara.
You can put that thing. You can juice that thing up on steroids, like Conseco, man, and have the best. I agree.
The Bash Brothers of meatloaf.
That's right. All right. I agree. I don't know where that one came from either. All right. You got that sunscreen article? Is there anything there?
Yeah. So a dermatologist at a university in Scotland named Richard Weller exposed volunteers to the equivalent of 30 minutes of summer sunlight without sunscreen because he believed that sunlight would actually reduce your blood pressure. And he was right. After doing this experiment, everyone who did it had lower blood pressure, so lower risk for heart disease and strokes. And if people are worried about skin cancer, less than 3 per 100,000 in the U.S. each year for skin cancer.
Well, obviously you can overdo everything. It would be much like when you get kids and they start going off playing sports, there's all sorts of panic. Like, where's your water? Where's your water? Where's your water? Who's taking the water? Where are you getting the water? And I'm always just like, hey, if you're thirsty, then you drink. And then they go, no, you got to drink in between and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it would be a cruel joke if your body wouldn't tell you when you had to urinate. Your body. And by the way, what is the difference?
How did we get this far?
Let's just take urination. We'll draw a straight circle from fluid in, fluid out. Why would your body let you know so insanely insistently when you had to urinate and not give you any clues as to when you had to hydrate? Like, that's a weird wiring. If you just take a look at, like, what machine, what creature, what organism would be wired for, I have no idea when to take fluid in, but when it comes to expelling fluid, you better pull the fucking car over and I'm going to piss out in the desert halfway to the bun boy in the middle of nowhere because it's that urgent. Why would it be that urgent on the way out and no sense of when it's coming in? I would argue you're smart all the way around. It's urgent to come out, and when you're thirsty, it'll hit you. If you're not thirsty, then you don't need it.
Urgent in, urgent out.
That's right. All right, take a quick break. Back with Jordan Harbinger. He's got some tips for success, and I'm really into this in 2019. Right after this.
Thursday night at the Irvine Improv. Don't miss the basic cable commentary of Airplane.
Would you like something to read?
Do you have anything light?
How about this leaflet, Famous Jewish Sports Legends?
Join Adam Carolla and special guest David Zucker for an inside look at the movie with its creator.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
And the Basic Cable Breakdown with Adam Carolla.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Thursday night, Irvine Improv, Basic Cable Commentary, Airplane.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Get your tickets at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm pretty sure I can fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
And now, some simple ways to better yourself in 2019. Brought to you by Intuit.com. Intuit, proud makers of TurboTax, QuickBooks, and Mint. It's time for Harbinger of Success with Jordan Harbinger.
Hey, Jordan.
Hey.
Hey, brag about yourself in under 30 seconds.
Sure. So the Jordan Harbinger Show was one of the most downloaded new shows of 2018, which is awesome.
Don't care.
And don't care.
I want to know about your history. I want to know about your travels, your schooling, your just who you are.
Sure. Yeah, I used to be a Wall Street attorney. And after that, I started running crazy sort of side hustles to get out of it. So I was training special forces and military. I trained guys on how to meet women, which was a little less than wholesome. And I was even a tour guide in North Korea for a while.
Is there something going on? In the last few days, I've gotten more emails about dating sites and marrying like Asian women and stuff in like 3 days than I have in the last year.
Yeah, if you'd stop visiting those sites, your safe search will not collect that information.
Yeah, but I'm just looking for meaningless sex. I'm not looking to get married.
Okay, yeah. You're right. Then I don't know.
Sorry, Jordan.
No worries.
Is it also just me, or are there things you notice when you're doing them, but also you wonder, like, I am so into life and life hacks and tips and things and ways to do better and make things better and to be more efficient, to be happier and to be everything-er. And I don't, when I was a kid or whatever age I was when my folks and their friends and anyone I knew was 54 years old, I never heard a word about it. Everyone was just, their whole discussion was around sweaters. Normally, like, hey, I'm looking to get a new sweater.
Oh, wow. Let me tell you what I just found.
You going cardigan?
I was in the sweater district earlier today.
Saw a guy with patches on his sleeve.
Oh, that's a rookie move. I don't want to do you want to
no,
do that.
Bad no, idea.
Bad idea. Give like it away.
A lot of sweater talk. All right. Who hates meatloaf? So, but I don't know. Maybe does it have to do with us living longer, wanting more, and sort of religion going away a little and being filled up with Oprah and life?
That's possible. I think the other angle here is that since I can see everything everyone else is doing, whether I want to or not because of internet, now I feel like I have to optimize everything. Whereas before, I was competing against the other guys on the assembly line, and we were all kind of in the same line of work. We all sort of had the same social status. Now I'm competing against everybody who's got this fake ass great life online, and they're posting their highlight reel, and I'm like, how do I get there? Yeah. I've got to work harder. You can't just get there putting in an extra 2 hours a day. You've got to optimize the crap out of your life. So life hacks and sort of getting quicker ways to the top has just exploded in popularity.
And also, I realize they're sucking everyone in because, like, my grandfather went to the market every day on his bicycle. And he just bought stuff, and he just had like a bag, you know, like a cloth bag or something. Now you turn on the computer, and it's like the best backpack you'll ever own. And I'm like, ooh, right. I want the best backpack. Yeah, and now
I like the best.
We're sucked in. He just had basically a pillowcase with handles on it, and he used it for 40 years, and he never thought about what the best one was, and he was fine. All right, Jordan, let's give us some tips.
Sure. Yeah, of course. I mean, I've made essentially a living off of this in a way that I didn't ever think I would need to. It started off because when I was a Wall Street attorney, I felt like I was going to get fired. And so I felt the need to optimize my own life. One of the things that I noticed quickly was that charismatic people, leaders who were actually doing a good job anyway, they didn't have filler words. And so I wanted to get rid of the filler words, the like, the, ooh, that's interesting, and the, you knows. I wanted to get rid of those. And I notice a lot of people, when they talk, if they're unsure of themselves, obviously we fill those in. And it's not a great quality in a broadcaster, but it's really not a good quality in people who are trying to inspire confidence in others. And so I developed a drill to get rid of this, or help get rid of this, that anyone can do at home. And it goes a little something like this. Essentially, record your half or your side of a conversation. And I say your side only because there's all these, there's these pesky wiretapping laws that we can't break that require third party or, you know, multi-party, two-party consent. And so if we just record our side of the conversation, which is all we need anyway, we should be in the clear legally. And you can do that just recording your phone using voice memos. Record your side of the conversation, any conversation you have with a friend, somebody at work, doesn't matter. And then when you play that, you'll notice all of the filler words that you have. And you can count these up and add that tally to a document. And if you really want to punish yourself and get better faster, you can import them to your computer and you can edit out all of the filler words. And then you'll replay the sound file without filler words and replay the one with filler words, and you will see exactly how much more impactful you are without filler words in your speech. You don't have to get rid of all of them. You still want to talk like a normal human, but getting rid of these filler words as a crutch will help you become much more impactful, charismatic, and have a lot more influence on people when you speak. And you can throw filler words in when you need them, when you need a pause or to sound like a normal human, instead of relying on them because you have nothing else to say.
Or you could go my route, which is a lot easier. You just get yourself a local morning radio show.
Yeah.
Tell Jimmy Kimmel to listen while he's driving in his car, and then he'll call you at home and say, why do you say awesome all the time? You never say awesome when we're hanging out, but I listen to radio, you're always saying awesome. You shouldn't say awesome so much when you don't even use the word awesome when we're hanging out. And I went, okay.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds awesome. Awesome suggestion, Jimmy. Yeah, I came up with this drill. There was a bunch of filler words in there as well. This is how you can get neurotic, by the way, as well. If you want to develop neurosis around it, you can also do this drill. These types of drills were developed when I was editing my show because I would spend so much time editing out filler words, editing my own show, that eventually I nearly stopped. I eradicated 90-95% of the filler words doing that. And people noticed the changes in my speech. And I said, oh, you can do the same thing without getting a morning show or a podcast or both by just recording your side of a conversation, which is essentially more natural than what you and I are doing, at least in the beginning.
All right. Tip number two.
Secondly, we've got this tennis ball drill, and this is something that seemed a little bit dumb for me at first. And I've been training a lot of special forces and undercover police officers and intelligence agents over the last few years. And one of the ways that those guys have to survive, guys and gals have to survive, is they have to consistently be able to relay information, especially about their story, essentially their cover, very quickly and under pressure. And in order to simulate that pressure, you have to do something that gives them something else to do aside from engaging conversation. So if I'm training somebody and working with them on their cover, it's not going to be something along the lines of, hey, so tell me what you do. Well, I'm not a cop. I'm really a school teacher from Idaho. That's not going to work. That simulated conversation is not going to work. So what we do is we grab a tennis ball and we bounce the ball to them, and they have to answer the question right when they get the ball and then bounce the ball back. So you feel this additional psychological pressure bouncing the ball back and forth and answering the question. And I know that this probably sounds like it doesn't apply if you're not an undercover police officer or intelligence agent or some other type of person in that line of work. This is actually really good for people who hate small talk, engineers and Silicon Valley types around where I live. This is a great drill for people in that line of work and those lines of work, because it adds that psychological pressure and you can create the ability in yourself to be able to engage and talk like this and go back and forth, and you'll feel that psychological pressure and you'll be really good at small talk, which is unfortunately a skill that's required nowadays in most lines of work. You can get really, really good at this, especially when there is no ball, involved. And it works really well with kids, too. Kids love playing this game, and shy kids will come out of their shell. So if you're a parent and your kid isn't really big into chatting or socialization, or they just moved or they've had something happen, the tennis ball drill can work wonders for people in those situations.
Do you have a drill if I'd like to get my son a little more into a shell and shut the fuck up about sports 24/7? He literally follows his mom around talking about everyone in the NBA, driving everyone insane.
That's the other tennis ball drill. Every time he goes off, you start pelting with tennis balls at pelt him.
I got to say, this. I don't know if they have thinking about undercover guys, and I haven't made a lot of guys in my day, you know, doing comedy and morning radio and man show and whatnot. I don't have to make undercover guys, but I did, and I've told the audience this before, I did fly first class a little bit after 9/11 and was sitting next to a guy, it looked like he was stuffed into a suit. Like, you know the guys who show up at court in a suit and it's like, oh boy, he's never worn this blazer.
Ill-fitting.
Ill-fitting.
Yeah. Like,
it didn't look right at all. And I was just looking at him going, like, this isn't a guy who wears a suit. And then also, why is he wearing a suit when he travels if he doesn't wear a suit? Mm-hmm. He might wear a suit when he was working. But then, and I just said to him, well, what do you do? And he's like, I own a small business. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, what kind of business? And he's like, I'm an air marshal, okay? I'm like, oh, that didn't take long.
Gave that up quick.
But also, why, when everyone is traveling in sweatpants these days, why do you want the air marshal wearing loafers?
That's a bold gambit on your part, because I would have figured guy traveling alone, ill-fitting suit, blah, 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 wearing the suit on the plane, he's going to a funeral. That would be my first thought. So, bold gambit.
I figured he was like a sport coat or something. What didn't feel funeral-y, but he... And I'm assuming it would have changed,
but either way.
It could have been an awkward three hours.
You have a clip of Sonny last night?
Bigger running back who does...
This is in the car with Lynette.
CJ Anderson, so that they could have kind of like a versatile run game, because Todd Gurley is now kind of that newer generation running back, got him into space, running like in space, kind of swing passes. Alvin Kamara. Mm-hmm, and now CJ Anderson is like Mark Ingram, where it's like that power run, push through the middle.
It's a real Corolla trait to go on and on when someone pretends to listen. And that's like,
never gets a break.
CJ Anderson. So they could have kind of like a versatile.
Wow, this is father's son.
He never shuts up, and nobody cares less than Lynette. And he, by the way, he doesn't care if you care or not.
Not
that's
at all.
He has stop him to from say. His appointed only, yapping rounds.
If only he talked that much on Fantasy BS. That kid came out of his shell.
All right, so I should throw a tennis ball at him,
yeah,
Jordan?
Yeah, pelt him, yeah.
I think, yeah, I like that sort of inverse tennis ball drill. That actually probably would work faster than the current version that I came up with earlier.
What is your last tip, Jordan?
The last tip, essentially, we're always communicating. And I think a lot of people really don't realize this. We think we're communicating when we decide to open our mouths and talk. And this is especially true in a dating context, to put it really clearly. Guys will be like, what do I say? How do I start the conversation? And so they're thinking, how do I begin communicating? And the truth is, you're already communicating with your nonverbal communication. And we see this in like meetings, we see this in presentations, we see this in professional circles, but of course, as well as in personal endeavors like dating. And what the problem with this is, since we're always communicating, we have this nonverbal communication that people are picking up on as soon as we become a blip on their radar. And so we have to make sure that we always have open, positive, confident body language if that's the message that we want to communicate to other people. And so we've developed the doorway drill. And what this is every time you walk through a doorway, stand upright, straighten out your body language, chest up, chin up, maybe a little bit of a smile on your face. Definitely not something you would exaggerate or you'll look like a complete tool. Mm-hmm. But you do this every time you walk through a doorway, and the doorway is essentially the trigger. And if you're forgetting about this, if you realize you walk through a doorway 10 seconds after you hear this and you didn't do it, you can get those little post-it notes, you know, the worthless ones that are so tiny, there's no way you could write anything on them. They're like hot pink and lime green or whatever. Stick those up in the doorways that you walk through the most, your office, your bedroom, the restroom, whatever, at eye level. And this will interrupt your sort of autopilot response. You'll walk through that door and you'll say, what the heck is that? Oh, right, the doorway drill, upright, open, positive, confident body language. And when you get into this as a habit, your first impression, the first bit of communication that you send out to everyone is that open, positive, confident body language. And that way people start to see that. That becomes your first impression. Because otherwise what you're left with is you're walking around your average schmo all the time, and then you try to think of something clever to say, or you're trying to open a conversation and be funny or entertaining or professional or whatever it is. People have already decided that you're not that person. They've already made an assessment based on your nonverbal communication. So what we want to do is hack that by setting forth that open, positive, confident first impression beforehand, so that everything else sort of adds up and reinforces that. And so the doorway drill will accomplish that, because then you don't have to think about your nonverbal communication in the moment. You don't have to make it up as you're in a conversation and think like, oh God, I got to stand up straight. It's impossible to monitor and self-monitor and still be a normal human being throughout that whole time.
I like the doorway notion, and I like the post-it notion, because one of my New Year's rezos, I had two, which is work on my posture and work on going out once a week and doing stand-up.
Work on standing up and stand-up.
Stand-up and standing up. And I realized the posture's really hard because you don't think about it at all. You go right into whatever position you're in, and days go by. There's nobody telling you to do it. There's nothing externally telling you. It's simply you remembering, which is bad. But this notion of putting that post-it up eye level and putting it in a few doors in your home, and as you pass through it, that would pull your shoulders back and do it immediately. Jordan, the Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One as well. Say hi to him on his website at jordanharbinger.com. Thanks, Jordan. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
We'll talk to you next week. And that was brought to you by Intuit. If you could live your most prosperous life, that's what we're talking about. What would it look like? Open a business, buy a home, go back to college, pay off those loans, save for retirement. Intuit can help you save time and money with easy-to-use software like QuickBooks, TurboTax, and Mint. Make invoices, budgeting, taxes, expenses, and do it as simply as possible. Your long-term goals could be closer than you think. Join over 50 million people who are using Intuit's products to achieve prosperity. And you can learn more. You can go to Intuit.com. That's Intuit.com. Intuit.com. Proud makers of TurboTax, QuickBooks, and Mint. You have a business. You have an idea. You want to keep things in order. It's 2019, people. Let's go to Intuit.com and check it out at Intuit.com. All right, let's see. Tom Arnold is not here.
Yeah, he just told us he's running late.
He's running a little bit late. All right. Do we have an outro? Sorry. Oh, we have an outro. Sorry.
Harbinger of Success. Brought to you by Intuit.com.
There you go. Some life hacks for you, people. I like the the doorway one. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the tennis ball one, if that sort of idea sounded familiar, that's right in line with everything you do in improv. You know, in your improv games and your warm-ups, and it's like, don't think, you have an action and you have a thought at the same time.
I don't know
time.
About that, Gina. Damn it.
No, you don't, Oprah.
Failed again.
I forgot. I made a note and then I forgot about it. Gary Sinise's Jeep.
Oh, yeah.
And?
Went for $1.3 million.
I think there was $1 million donation in there, but still, with the $300,000 for the Jeep, that exceeded expectations.
Well, even the $300,000.
I heard it sold twice. I didn't hear. That's all I got. I got a tweet. I taped the show, and I'll try to look at it and see if I can find it. But
that's still
the
awesome.
Jeep Sinise was talking about was 1.3 is what it raised.
Because you really tempered his expectations. So this blew the roof off.
Yeah, well,
if it gets, twice that, three times that, you're in a good place.
If it gets to six figures, it's a good thing. Yeah. I never want to be that person that jacks it up and has it drop down. I hate it. There's so many people that do that. Like, it happens all the time where they jump it up and or jump it down. They go the other direction and you go, oh, that's, oh.
You should easily get $1.5 million for that.
Right.
Oh, you're almost there.
Yeah, so
it's still good.
It initially sold for $200,000, which is great. And then another partner on the project, heavy equipment broker Sunbelt Rentals, donated an additional $1 million to the charity.
Oh, okay. And then the 10%? They don't do the VIG on that. That's right. All right.
It's
so
good haul.
Is that
and
two
the,
and
the
one?
The buyer sent it across the block again, and it sold a second time for $100,000.
Oh, that's what. So all the above.
Wow.
Good. Money going to a great cause.
Indeed.
All right. We will Tom Arnold's coming around. Irvine Improv this Thursday. I'm going to do stand-up for maybe 15, 20 minutes at the top, and then we'll get into basic cable commentary with Dave Zucker from my airplane. And Connecticut Foxwoods, that's stand-up, and Adam Carolla's Unprepared as well. That'll be February 8th, and then the 9th, Wilbur Theater in Boston. That'll be the following night. Los Angeles, Peterson Automotive Museum, March 10th,
big
the 10-year anniversary. Tickets going for that. We'll say hi to you there. Baldy's got his socks out there.
Indeed.
Limited
time.
Starting
to get them already. They're already getting shipped out.
Go to adamcarolla.com and look for that there. We'll tell you more. Dawson's got his booze and book club February 7th coming up 8 p.m. 10 E. Go to amcroll.com and find out more about that as well. We'll take a quickie break. We'll come back with Tom Arnold news, or just Tom Arnold. Let's see.
He should be pulling up any minute now.
All right, so. After that.
Corolla Drinks is back in stock. You guys drank us dry this holiday season, but fear not. We've got cases and cases of fresh, original, white, and brosé for you to guzzle down in the new year. To celebrate Ace and Sonny's Rams making it to the big game, we've got a brand new offer for you. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and use promo code RAMS at checkout for 20% off orders of three or more bottles. Let's all raise a glass of Mangria and say thank you to the referees. Visit CorollaDrinks.com. Promo code RAMS.